I'm Linda Fintelberg for Biz News. I'm joined in the Biz News studio today by Sahil Motani, Head of Macro Research at Global Investment Manager 91. He has just dropped a humdinger of a white paper titled The Unstoppable Dollar Meets the Immovable Mr. Trump. It's a forecast for global currency markets, and the dollar's reign could be in for a shakeup. Sahil, welcome to the studio. It's so great to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Linda.
So why do you believe we're approaching the end of a 14-year US dollar upcycle?
So there's been a lot of predictions for dollar decline in the last few years. They've been wrong. The dollar's gone up. As you say, the dollar's been on an uptrend for 14 years. There are four factors, four drivers of dollar inertia, both on the upside and the downside. The first is geopolitics. Dollar tracks structural flows because the U.S. is a central part of the global economy. There are interest rate differentials where countries are out of sync with other countries and therefore attract flows because they're growing faster than other countries for long periods of time. There's the investment industry, my industry, which will develop a trend and push capital into an asset class for long periods of time. And then there are currency intervention periods that happen at cyclical peaks. So if you think about inflation in a domestic economy, when inflation exceeds a peak in an inflation targeting regime, the central bank intervenes. In the dollar, it's a global currency market. There's no regulator. And so typically, you get periods of interventions at peaks and troughs, like you had in 71 and like you had in 85. And I think that accounts for dollar inertia, and but all four of those things could be changing right now as well.
Well, you say in your report that they, you know, the macroeconomic and policy levers are all in the red now. So are they flashing?
Yeah. So if you look at the four drivers, geopolitics, obviously tariffs have increased massively. We've gone from 2.5% tariffs on average imports in the US to something above 10%. What we didn't have in 2017 and 2020, when the market was also convinced the dollar was about to decline, is a growth story in Germany. You know, for the longest time in the last few years, Germany has been about deindustrialization. This new story in Europe's been terrible. And, you know, for the first time, you're starting to see big spending in Germany on infrastructure and defense. We've had Macron visit the UK on a state visit this time. It's the first state visit of a European head of state to the UK since Brexit. You know, there are things being repaired here, and budgets that are being spent. So that's good. The investment industry is getting excited about asset classes that are not US, not to say that the US equity market is going to fall out of bed. But, you know, fact is European equities have outperformed US this year. EM equities have outperformed the US this year. So people are getting new ideas. And then finally, the US seems to want a weaker currency. If you look at the capital controls they're talking about, if you look at the Mar-a-Lago Accord that one member of the Trump economic team has mooted. So, yeah, I think like all those things are starting to play out in a way.
Well, I mean, just look at how heavily allocated are global portfolios towards US assets today.
Yeah, so they're very heavily allocated. That's partly because the underlying asset allocation for equities, for example, that the benchmark reached about 70% in Q4. So 70% of all global equities in the global benchmark were US stocks, which is very high. Usually it's, you know, somewhere close to 50 to 60 or 40, you know, 45 at troughs. And what happened was the asset allocation community also was getting a benefit of a dollar uptick. So the dollar would outperform other currencies by 1 to 3 percentage points every year. So they started to reduce their hedges. They started to say, okay, I'm getting the benefit of the dollar. I'm getting the benefit of the underlying asset allocation, which is underperforming other regions. So let me just keep increasing my exposure to the US. And of course, this year, if you had done that, you're really underperforming. So suddenly those people are feeling the pain and they're starting to rethink whether they think this is going to continue in the years ahead.
So are you saying the Trump shock is not only tariffs, it might also be on the US dollar's dominance?
Okay, so I think you don't need to go there. I think this whole conversation about dollar dominance is an interesting conversation. It's a political conversation. I would park it. The dollar has had three full cycles since 1971, since the Nixon gold shock. All throughout this time, the dollar has been dominant, right? And the dollar is going up and the dollar is going down. So you don't need to say that we're going to see the end of the dollar, the rise of the renminbi, the rise of Bitcoin. You don't have to go there to just say asset allocators need to think about a cyclical dollar bear market of the kind that we had in the 2000s or in the 80s or in the 70s. I think it's just a normal cyclical dollar bear market.
So what you mentioned a little bit about that, but what adjustments might investors make to make sure that, you know, in this time that we enter a dollar down cycle, that they do the right thing?
So the first thing to know is that because the world borrows in dollars, when the dollar declines, it's as if there's a surge of global liquidity into the global economy because the borrowing costs decline. So actually, the dollar down cycle is pretty good for all asset classes, including the US, on a 1 or 3 year out basis. It is, however, much, much better for non-US assets. So emerging markets typically do well because they are more likely to borrow in a hard currency like the dollar and earn in a local currency. So when the dollar goes down, their ability to service their debt payments goes up. Europe does well. Japan does well. It really, so I'd say you're not starved for choice. But it really depends where the growth story is, right? Where do we actually think we're going to get an interesting growth story? And I think what is interesting about this cycle is that AI seems to be a much more global trend. I mean, the initial AI upsurge was a US upsurge and people invested in infrastructure. But then we had the DeepSeek moment in February, and China is now incentivizing AI in their economy. The Europeans are a bit late, but they're catching up. And so AI might very well be a global story, in which case this is really a global economic upsurge.
So do you think the transition will be a slow pivot or a sudden correction?
It's a good question. I think, at the moment when I put my cyclical economy hat on, the Fed is getting more comfortable with cutting. So that is pretty, that suggests that the dollar decline is going to happen sooner because interest rate differentials correct faster. U.S. economy seems pretty strong, though, so that augurs for a slower transition. I'll tell you what, I think it depends on how quickly Europe and China can grow and be convincing. I think the European growth story is baked in. I think the China growth story is less baked in. But if suddenly you were to see a major transition in China, I think this could kick off pretty quickly.
So are there early signs of capital migration away from the dollar?
Yes. So there are surveys and there are early data that suggests that investors are allocating less to the US, although the flows are still positive, and they're allocating more towards Europe. Just keep in mind, headline is a big numbers, right? So foreign investors have about $32 trillion dollars of U.S. assets, both on equity and fixed income. 20 trillion of that is G10. The rest is from emerging markets. There are hedge ratios that investors have put on where they're hedging their U.S. exposure. So what I calculate is, or we calculate at the Investment Institute, is that hedge ratios on bonds fell 5%. And equities 1-2%. And if you unwound that, that would create about $1 trillion of selling. But that is in the context of the $32 trillion I mentioned of foreign investors owning U.S. assets. And the FX market daily turnover is about $10 trillion. So these are huge numbers. And it kind of explains why the dollar cycles are super long. The dollar cycle is longer than an equity cycle. It's longer than a commodity cycle. It's longer than a typical credit cycle. It's 18 years for a full cycle. So I think this will play out over a multi-year period. Dollar's down 11% from peak, but it's only down 4% since the Trump election, right? So you're starting to see the numbers here. It will take a multi-year period for this to play out.
So how do you imagine the Trump administration or the Federal Reserve might respond to your paper's conclusions?
So I think the Trump administration is quite sanguine about a weaker dollar because, they, you know, yes, the U.S. consumer loses purchasing power if the dollar declines, but if everything else is going up and you're getting an AI boom and an investment boom at the same time, you know, life is actually fine. And so I think the Trump administration is trying to rebalance the global economy in the U.S.'s favor and correct some of the underlying imbalances. They have five pillars. They've got tariffs, they've got immigration, they've got deregulation, fiscal and energy. You know, markets are doing quite well because I think they're anticipating deregulation. They're expecting some sort of fiscal boost from the recent bill that was passed. So I think it's okay. The Federal Reserve is focused on growth and inflation. They really don't want another inflation shock because they got it wrong after the pandemic and they can't get it wrong twice in a decade. So they will be more vigilant, I think, than they would have otherwise been about inflation. Good news is the Fed's own models say that when you increase tariffs, the growth slowdown outweighs the inflation surge. So in fact, the economy slows a bit more instead of you getting this kind of stagflation outcome that people are expecting. So I actually think it's a pretty benign scenario. And by the way, that's kind of what the markets are telling you, right?
So you're not predicting the end of the dollar?
No. No, I don't think you need to predict the end of the dollar. What I'm predicting is a major shift in the dollar's value, which is important for portfolios. So just to keep it in context, the average of previous dollar bear markets is a 32% decline, right? We've already had a 4-5% decline, so you've probably got another, you know, 25% in a multi-year bear market. It's a pretty big move. Is it the end of the dollar? No.
This is not about the rise of China's currency.
No, I don't think. I think that is a separate question, and the Chinese have to make a decision about how loosely they want to tie their currency into the global economy. So, for example, if you buy dollars and you save in dollars, you can buy assets in the U.S. relatively easily. If you save in renminbi and you accumulate that, it's a little bit harder to buy assets in China and then take those assets out of China because there are strong capital controls. So I think the Chinese to accelerate, you know, the world, I think, doesn't mind holding Chinese renminbis and they're willing to do it, but they need to make it easier to buy goods and services and move capital in and out of China. And the Chinese are just not ready to do that at the moment.
Sahil Mattani, thanks so much for speaking to us. Very interesting.
Thank you so much, Linda.